The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us from the home office. Eric is with us, and we'll have Eddie Johnson in about 8 minutes. There's a lot percolating around the NBA of trying to do postseason tournament type of event. Best of three, best of five, keep the NBA finals as a best of seven. How is EJ handling the coronavirus? EJ, very, very wise man through the years on a business end, well-educated, and looking forward to having a conversation with Eddie Johnson. We're going to start doing something new on the show, and it's a tip of the cap to the class of 2020. This happened yesterday, where Governor Ducey announced that high schools were closed, everything's going to be online, and there's no more sports. And so I'm going to reach out, and maybe every show, maybe just a few shows, I don't know yet. But we're going to do an athlete from the class of 2020, the high school class of 2020, on our show each day when we're with you. We're with you live Monday through Thursday. We do this show at 10 a.m., and people consume it throughout the day and throughout the night, and it's fine. We've been doing this for 8 years now. And so if you're finding us for the first time, welcome. We are self-funded, which means we find sponsors. Those sponsors pour into us. We are able to pour into you. We appreciate their support and ask you to support them as well. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. In these uncertain times, I'm sure many of you are looking at your entire personal situation, saying, where am I at on my finances? Where am I at with things like my life insurance? It's a program called Peace Assured to check out too. It's a perfect time, as we're all housebound, to look at everything that's going on in your life and reflect, take some time to see if we are protecting what matters most, as they do at Sagicor. I have my license. People at Sagicor have been terrific with me, and I encourage you to check them out. That's online at Sagicor Now. That is at Sagicor Now. Now we bring Eric on board. Eric Sorensen is in the house doing his thing. What is new on your end, partner?
A lot of in-home working, just like everyone else. But some
I think you should paint the wall behind you.
What's that?
I think you should paint the wall behind you. That'll give you something to do.
I got definitely
the time.
Yeah, definitely.
What else?
I found it interesting what ESPN decided this morning.
What's with that?
Their 10-part Chicago Bulls documentary, which was scheduled to be released in June, is now going to be released April 19th.
It's very smart.
Very smart.
So this is the Michael Jordan documentary, right?
It is. They have been promoting since last summer. And I know quite a few people online were urging ESPN to move that date up. So I'm happy to see that. I'm sure that will attract plenty of eyeballs. And the other thing that caught my eye, this actually came out late yesterday, I'm sure you saw it, was the NCAA offering another year of eligibility to spring athletes, which I think is a really, really good move. So
I don't know how they're going to pull that off, and it's smart. We're going to have Ray Anderson with us tomorrow to get deeper into this, the athletic director at Arizona State. He said he'll come on tomorrow. I guess I'm looking at all sports, and the one that concerns me most is college. Because, I mean, David Hines yesterday sounded like somebody ran over his dog when he announced that, you know, the high schools are done, and he was with us. And I get that. And I'm wondering how they're going to do their business at the AIA and, you know, the coordination of officials, and will there be side businesses that will come out of the woodwork, things like the National Football High School, the NFS, that has been overseen. Are they going to stay in business? Are they going to go out of business? Who's going to be the governing body? Will the AIA take on a more prominent role like the CIF out in California does? I think on the college end, Eric, because there is no commissioner, and I've sat here and pounded my fist that anybody, please oversee college athletics so we don't have just total mismanagement. Like, what was it, the Big East tournament playing a half of a game 3 weeks ago when everybody else had stopped because, well, I don't know. And then in hindsight, their commissioner says, yeah, probably wasn't a good idea. Really, you think? There's nobody that's out there overseeing college. They're just kind of on their own little deal. And when you have doofuses that say that, you know, what Trevor Lawrence and his girlfriend were doing a week and a half ago, just completely insensitive, totally tone deaf as to what is going on out there. And then you have a complete mismanagement cluster bleep that is the Pac-12 from top to bottom, with their television network accomplishing absolutely zero. There's nobody that's there that's saying, what are you guys doing? And so when you say, when the NCAA says, you know what, we're going to give everybody an extra year. Okay. Sounds great. So how are you going to split those scholarships up? What are you telling the incoming seniors? Right?
Yeah. That was my biggest question, is especially in college baseball, Brad, as you know, players for the most part split scholarships.
Yep.
So the best baseball player at a university may get a full ride, but most of the other players are getting 30% scholarship, 35% scholarship. They're already paying for school right now. How are they going to be able to afford this extra year of eligibility if they're only on a 30 or 40% scholarship and they're going to a private school or a really expensive school? That is one thing that I did think about that I'm sure the NCAA is trying to process.
Well, but have they really given it that much thought? You know, I'll give you inside baseball, okay? I get a phone call this morning from Brock Purdy's dad. They're still in Florida. They still haven't made it back because things out here now are uncertain. And he's asking me, you know, what do you think is going to happen on the college front? And the football coach at Iowa State has talked to Brock and all that, and everybody's spread out. So let's just talk college football. I believe this to be true, and same with high schools. If you don't take care of your body, and probably the NFL too, because we know that once guys get some money in their pocket, we've seen those guys that have just kind of regressed into, yeah, I don't think I'm going to get up off the couch today because, well, there's really no reason for me. I can't go work out. I don't have a workout place. Yeah, I don't think having a Big Mac today is really that big of a deal. Well, maybe I'll have three Big Macs, or maybe I'll learn that the drive-thru Cane's is always open. And maybe, is the great Charles Barkley line, maybe I should learn the words, I'm full, when he was talking about Oliver Miller and Oliver's weight battles. I think there's going to be guys coming in out of shape all over the place. So if you're in the college space, how much access can you have? How much access should you have? What do you say to the kid that is a senior, Eric? And that kid, girl, boy, couldn't play worth a lick, and they were still on scholarship. And the kid says, yep, I'm coming back next year. Meantime, you've got a stud shortstop center fielder who's coming in from high school, and all of a sudden, their thing has been turned upside down. That's where I'm concerned with college. Like, I agree with what you said, that, yeah, it's nice of the NCAA to do it. But these guys always bump into each other as Keystone Cops or Abbott and Costello. They just can't get out of their own way. And I guess I'll believe it. If it's run smoothly, great. Great. I'm going to drop something on you. I mentioned it to you in passing. So we're going to start doing class of 2020 today. And high school seniors who had the rug pulled out from under them yesterday. So we're going to have Isaac Davis with us at about 10:50. Isaac ran track at Castile. From what I understand, he's one of the fastest people in the country for his age group. And so we're going to have him on. You and Jordan know lots of high school seniors. So what I'm thinking, just organically on this, and the fans can chime on in, is if you see somebody you know that's a senior and you like this person or you think they have a cool story, bring them on. You do the interview. I'll just kind of sit over to the side and chime in if needed be. But you do it because you know them better than me.
Only spring athletes?
No, 2020s. Could be a football kid that's not going to have a prom, that's not going to walk with graduation. And I don't want to sit there and pull the teeth on them by saying, oh, man, it must have been really hard. Well, we know that. There's got to be a little bit of that. But I think it's, okay, are you ready to move on to the next step? And what is the next step? You know, if it's a kid that you've done stories on years, and you've done some terrific stories, right? And so for these kids, somebody reminded me that these 2020 kids were born after 9/11 or were conceived around 9/11. So the uncertainty of their life, you know, here they are in 2020 and they're 18, 19 years of age. Most of them 17, 18. But they're right around 9/11. And so I think we should do something on the air. I really like what Scott Van Pelt has done over at ESPN in doing things around 2020. So let's do it here locally. And if you guys are watching, you've got somebody that you feel like, hey, you need to pay attention to this kid. It could be your own son or daughter or somebody that you know. Just drop us a note, brad@sports360az.com or eric@sports360az.com or jordan@sports360az.com. It's pretty simple. So there's that. All right, well, I've Eddie Johnson on the other side. Eric and I will get back together in about 15 minutes. But Eddie Johnson is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Eddie Johnson with us, as promised. Good to catch up with the Suns analyst and to get you of the NBA. Of course, his show on Sirius XM with Justin Termini in the afternoons. The two bicker like my wife and I do. But in this serious time, I want to have Eddie on a number of fronts. First and foremost, as a friend, how are you and your family doing in this hunkered down period?
We're doing fine. You know, for us, you know, me, my wife, and my kids, we're like, you know, we're always by ourselves. We just like loners. We, you know, we love to stay in house. You know, we love to enjoy TV and just do things around the house. So it's not that big of an inconvenience for me, especially with my travel schedule. That's why I think I was forced over the years to just enjoy being home when I had the chance. So it hasn't been that difficult an adjustment at all. And, you know, but I understand what a lot of people are going through. But, you know, it's for the good of humanity. I mean, it's our turn. That's how I look at it. I was a history major, so, you know, I understand about the pandemics and how this world has dealt with situations like this over time. And we've lost millions upon millions of people in this world over time because of situations like this. And if it wasn't for them, Brad, in the past, doing what they needed to do to make things better for us right now, then, you know, we wouldn't be in a better situation. And so I think it's up to us now to do our part for the people that's going to come after us to understand this disease and do all the things that the rules are asking us to do. Social distancing, mm-hmm. Washing your hands, just doing simple things, man. And it doesn't take a lot to do. It takes some dedication, obviously, and some determination to change how things go for you, but you got to do it. And it saves lives. And you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about other people.
When you go out to the store and you see shelves that are empty, I've never been in a situation like this, and I see people losing their minds. And I think you and I, Eddie, are really cut from the same cloth in that we do like people. We think the best. We're optimistic. But, man, when I see stuff like what is going on right now, when the governor says we have to go to shelter and the lines just crush, what goes through your mind when you go to a store?
Well, I think you know, people have to understand that, you know, this country is always going to be prepared. Not always, because obviously we weren't as prepared for this disease as it has hit us. But for the most part, I think we can recuperate. We can adjust. And I just think when you're hoarding stuff and you're taking away from people that, you know, don't get a chance to have that particular item, you know, and just because you make enough money, you make more money than most, you can go in and buy up all the toilet paper. You can buy up all the sanitizer. Well, it's unfair for the people that maybe have to save up to be able to come buy it. They just can't go buy it in bulk. I just think it's a little selfishness there, and that's something that we did not do. We did not bulk up. We just purchased enough of what we felt we needed. And I've never been in that. I mean, in 1999, if you remember, you know, people went out and they hoarded things and they went crazy and they bought up things. And I just think it's enough for everybody. And I think we have to be patient with that and not just think about yourself. You got to think about others. That's how we survive in a situation. If you just think about yourself, then you fail. You know, you have to think about others as well. And I think most people in this country are doing that. But I think a lot of people in this country don't believe, for whatever reason, they continue to get together in groups. They're irritated when people say something about them, something to them about it. And I just want them to just wake up every morning and just watch the news. And you can see what's happening in New York. And who says it's not going to hit here in Arizona? I mean, just because right. It's in New York doesn't mean it's not going to hit Arizona. I mean, I think we have to do everything that we can here to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Eddie Johnson with the Suns broadcaster, and of course on SiriusXM, you can hear him in the afternoons. I want to delicately switch over to basketball. I think Adam Silver's handled everything very appropriate. Obviously, basketball fans do want to get back out on the court. They're starting to look at what China has done with their league, talking about potentially having 10 teams, two different cities. The idea of in the NBA office, I've seen it floated even today, of potentially having best of threes and a tournament like March Madness, except not a single elimination. I know it's not the easiest conversation to have, Eddie, but how do you think Adam Silver, A, has handled this, and B, if there is a regular season, postseason, how should it be handled?
I think he handled it well, immediately suspending the season. When Rudy Gobert was diagnosed as positive and not going any further. Even before then, they were putting together rules of not, you know, doing autographs, not shaking hands. They were trying to at least avoid it. But obviously, as we know now, it was unavoidable. I mean, when you're seeing people continually come down positive with this disease. It's not something to hesitate on. And I think Adam Silver's done a tremendous job of just acting first, and all the other leagues followed soon after. That shows that the NBA is an example for everyone. And now, you know, the goal is to finish this season. I mean, you just don't. The NBA has always finished its season. I know baseball went 1 year where they did not, and I think they paid a price for not doing it, and that was just labor negotiations. I don't think the league wants to do that. I think they want to finish it in some way, somehow. A lot of things have been floated around, a few as you noted, but also, you know, quarantining all the teams in one city, and then, you know, and fans aren't going to be in the arena anyway, so, you know, put a floor in a ballroom. You know, you got ballrooms in Vegas that's huge. You know, you can put a floor in there and you can complete the process in a few ballrooms and just quarantine the teams there in a hotel. Those hotels are empty right now. I heard the Bahamas is another place that they might look at. I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona was not a place they didn't look at. So I just think the league is going to try to finish it, and I agree with that. To what extent, I just don't know.
What about LeBron and all this, Eddie? I know it's started to become a talking point on him saying, I don't want to play in empty buildings and that sort of thing. Where do you come down on where he is? Do you get where he's coming from on this?
Well, I think LeBron needs to just kind of sequester what he's saying. You're not going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, when you comment about stuff like this, then you get an example of what it takes to be a politician, okay? I mean, it doesn't matter. Some people aren't going to like you. Some people are going to like you. And you're not, even though you're trying to, like, LeBron's trying to be on the side of the fans, right? Well, I'm not going to play in the empty building because he wants to respect the fans. But on the other side, you know, he wants to get his check. You know, he wants to get his check.
Yep.
And you got to respect the league. And that the league has never discontinued a season and did not finish it. Those are the ones that's paying you your salary. So you got to respect what they're trying to do as well. The fans are going to be okay. I mean, we need to watch something. The games will be televised. Fans don't have to be there. And by the way, only 18,000 people can get in the stadium. In this day and age, most of them are corporations. Right. So most of your fans, actually, LeBron, are at home. So, I mean, they're at home watching you on TV. So, I mean, that's the part that I think players have to understand, you know, and just don't try to be politically correct in the situation, because you're going to – it's not going to – it's an imbalance. You're going to lose. And then he said, well, I don't think I want to be quarantined. Well, again, it goes back to you not wanting to give up something to make the people at home feel good about themselves to see some sporting events while they're locked up in their home. So it's just that conversation that needs to just calm down amongst players and just follow the lead of your leader, right? That's what we need. We need leaders now. We don't need people thinking they're leaders and going against what is suggested. Just pay attention, agree or disagree, but just keep it private and have that discussion personally instead of in public.
One last question, because I know you've got to run, as do I. Just a big broad brush of the job Monty Williams has done at this point with the team in year number one, about a minute and a half left.
It's about culture, right? I mean, the Suns have been through an abyss in regards to not making the playoffs. And I know people were excited at the start that, okay, this team can make the playoffs. Not to even say that they still couldn't have if the season had continued. But you gotta address the culture first, and then you start to build. You know, and I think that's what Monty has done. He's addressed the culture, not only in practice, not only in how he relates to his players, that he relates to the front office, he relates to the media. All those things had to improve. And I think Monty has done that. And I think it takes time. Some people want to hurry up and put the Band-Aid on it and just get going and everything's going to change. Well, it just doesn't happen like that. I think it's a process. It's a healing. And I think Monty has done a very good job. And you had to start that healing with your star player in Devin Booker. And Devin has bought into it. And now once he buys in, everyone else starts to buy in. And I think that's the key.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time. Stay safe, and we'll catch up down the road. Thanks, EJ.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
It's Eddie Johnson with us, analyst. And, of course, you can hear him on Sirius XM. In the afternoons at 2 o'clock with Justin Termini. They do great work on that end. We're back with more after this timeout. So in about 10 minutes, we're going to have Isaac Davis with us. We're going to start a new feature here on the show called the Class of 2020 High Seniors, who found out yesterday that their run in high school is over. Literally in our space, Isaac Davis, his run did come to an end, a top track athlete at Castile High School. But we're going to put athletes on over the next few weeks, probably right through June, and just spend their time for a few minutes. That comes up at 10:50. As we sit around, all of us, I try not to scroll too much, try to be out and be active, work on stuff, get out and hit a golf ball, get out on a hike, ride a bike, whatever. Get around and Eric, you're in the same space, and you found something pretty cool. I think we should, both of us, just, and Jordan too, throw stuff out on the air that we've seen online that we think fans should see.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things, as we're all adjusting to these ever-changing times of change, for lack of a better term, is we have seen a lot of all of the Arizona professional sports teams come together, donate money. I know the Cardinals are doing a blood drive. You mentioned it earlier. And earlier today on Twitter, I believe it was the Arizona Cardinals that put out this collaborative video that we're going to watch here in a bit, just sort of uniting Arizona through the professional sports franchises. And I thought it was really cool. And a bunch of people it's got almost 75,000 views already. And it's only been online for a little bit more than an hour. So, Jared, let's see if we can play this.
Today, the roar of the crowd is a memory. We've pressed pause on the shared connection we all feel from sports. It wasn't a choice, but maybe it can teach us a little about our community. Soon enough, it'll be game day once again. But for now, maybe we should stand up and cheer for something different. For personal sacrifice. For the things and people we once took for granted. For teachers and sanitation workers, first responders and soldiers, for the pharmacists, for the people who supply our food, for those keeping our electricity on and our water clean, and most of all, for our doctors and nurses. Show how much we appreciate them for keeping us safe, giving us faith, and providing us hope. This time, let them hear your crowd, from border to border and everywhere in between. Someday soon, the time will come again to drop the puck. We'll get to be in our seats just in time for the opening tip. It'll be the top of the first, no one on, no one out. Kickoff will be just moments away, and our children will be back on the ice, the court, and the field. We'll return to the smell of hot dogs, the taste of cold beer, the sights, and best of all, the sounds. Until then, stay together, even if we can't be together. Be safe, be kind, show gratitude. Thank somebody for doing their job. For you, your loved ones, for Arizona.
And you know what's interesting, Brad? I was talking with a friend last night. Doesn't it seem like 20 years ago that we had live sports?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
At the time when sports came to a stop, the Cardinals were in the midst of going through their draft processes. The Coyotes were trying to secure a playoff spot. We've seen the highs and mostly lows of the Sun season.
Yes.
I think we're all sort of anticipating what would be from this retooled and improved Diamondbacks team. It just seems like so long ago. And it really wasn't that long ago. It was what? 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. And it's just surreal that sports can be such a great distraction. And in talking to some of my buddies, just whether it be on the phone or over text, all they want to do now is talk sports. Even though there really isn't sports to talk about, nobody wants to talk about the coronavirus anymore. Like, we're living through it. We're dealing with it. We're coping. And it's just cool how, you know, they always say like, oh, well, sports is such a great distraction. Well, yeah. Truly now, sports really is a great distraction.
I mean, Remy Martin was still a Sun Devil before this.
How about that? I was stunned
by that
Remy,
one.
Remy is a really good college basketball player.
Yep, really stunned. I'm stunned that Nico still hasn't announced he's turning pro. I know Zeke Nagy did over the weekend, but that's not a swipe at Remy. It's just
not at all.
Remy Martin's leaving for the NBA? What? At first, when I saw on Twitter, Remy, you know, thanks, Remy, I thought, he entered the transfer portal. Wow, that's kind of interesting. Instead, no, he's turning pro. What? And I hope he proves me wrong. I just never thought for a moment, watching him play this year, of that's an NBA guard who's ready to go. But, you know, you don't know the financial situation. You don't know the home life situation. You don't know we just don't know behind the scenes with Remy Martin, but anybody who's going to sit here and defend his decision to turn pro just on basketball ability, no, you're just in Remy Martin's camp and that's it.
I did a little research yesterday just after I saw Jordan's story about Remy, and most of the mock drafts have him as a late second round pick or even going undrafted. So I'm hopeful for his sake. If it's just a basketball decision and not a financial decision, the people that are advising him after he goes through the draft process basically tell him, hey, you know what? You could probably use another year at ASU.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
No, there's that. And he'd be better off going undrafted. He really would, because it's he can then go pick the team that has the right system for him. You know, like, yep. Lou Dortz, it's worked exactly out well for him. It's worked yep out well for him.
Really well.
Case. All right, we're going to do something on the other side we have not done before, and that is the class of 2020. High school senior, male, female, who's had their career come to an end abruptly here in our great state. That's on the other side with Isaac Davis from Castile High School. That's next. So to finish out today's show, it's something that I want to do on occasion here. It's class of 2020. These are high school athletes who yesterday found out their senior seasons are done. And I've had people have said through the years, you know, Brad, the senior year, it's the best year of a kid's life. They have senior ditch day and they have prom and they have graduation. They're all together. And so I got to thinking last night, even this morning, of just having kids that come on here in the Valley or across the state that are class of 2020s whose seasons came to an end, or schooling really came to an end as a group. Isaac Davis is the first one that I want to have on. Isaac runs track at Castile High School. He is faster than fast. I'll have him give the numbers so I don't misrepresent. But I figured let's start the 2020 group with Isaac, and he joins us for a couple of minutes. And first of all, you just jumping in on this, because it means a lot, I think, to take some time to talk about your 2020 experience. Let's go through your sports side of things, Isaac. The fast of fast. Give me your times and your events and track.
So really, I'll run anything underneath the 400 meters. I'll specialize in a four. So my four time is about 47.8. That was my opener this year, which was, it was a really good opener. So, but I'll stick to running any four. So probably the 200 meter, I ran a couple of 100 meters, and then I'll do the 4x1 relay and then the 4x4.
And your numbers at the start of the year, were they where you wanted them to be?
Yes, absolutely. I had some really good openers, and usually I'll follow kind of a pattern when I go to drop times, usually about like 2 seconds per event. So for the four, that would have been probably around like 46 this year. So that was definitely where I wanted to be at the beginning.
Where did you rank in the state of Arizona?
In the entire state of Arizona, I was first in the 400 meters. And I believe fifth in the 100 meters.
And where did you rank nationally?
Nationally, I was top 10 in the 400 meters nationally.
And if you were on your pace to continue through May, through finals here, the state track meet, where do you think you would have had the potential to finish nationally had the season gone through?
Had the season gone through, I personally believe I would have been right there at like number one, if not like number two. I know I definitely put in all that work to get to those kind of positions, and I feel like this year would have been a really good staple in that.
You're on track for the Olympics, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the goal. So a high school senior not being able to compete for a couple of months, and add to that, you're not able to compete in anything right now. You can't go out and work on your craft. I mean, you can in space, I'm sure, but in terms of competition, you don't really know the next time that you could compete, right?
Yeah, we're unsure at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Who's helped you most to get to this point? Because the backstory is family's been a part of running and part of the Olympics, correct?
Yes.
So walk people through that.
Well, so for the most part, I've been trained by my mom. She's been, both my mom and my dad, but my mom mainly. She's been all over with track. She knows a lot of people. She went to Pan American Olympic Games, and she really kind of used that insight to kind of help boost me in my performance. I really didn't start track until my freshman year, and then that's probably when she jumped on the train and was like, okay, we're going to start training for this and that. And from the looks of it, it helped me. So,
I'd say so. That might be the understatement of the year. You know, you're one of the top ones in the nation. When you got the news yesterday that it was over, what was your reaction?
Well, I was a little disappointed. I always kept it, like, you know, in the back of my head. It could happen, but we just don't want to, like, assume it always will. Unfortunately, it did have to happen, and I understand why, so I can appreciate, you know, they're looking out for people, and I can respect that. But it kind of does, you know, stuck a little, since we had really big plans this year. But moving forward, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing about it.
What are your plans when high school is done? I mentioned earlier there won't be the prom, there won't be the graduation from what it looks like in typical form. And so your next steps, are you already moving on to the next part of your journey? Do you know where college is going to be? How do the Olympics work into that? Walk me through the next few months, few years.
So as of right now, there's a big dead period on a lot of the college sports. So I had made a verbal commitment to University of Arizona, actually, we haven't officially committed because of the dead period. And that should live sometime in April, I believe. Once that happens, I'm all set for college, really. I believe with situations in college sports, I'm not too sure when they're going to lift the racing ban. But I do know as soon as I get there, you know, I'm going to start staying on top of things like I am now and just keep training and to see what I'll just hop into for races.
So the Olympic part, obviously, with this is not for 2021 now. This is, you're looking ahead to 24s, 28s, and beyond, right?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure with the 2021 Olympics. If it's on my path, I'm definitely aiming for it. I know if I put in my work, I'm definitely going for it.
And you, in your event in the Olympics in 2021 would be?
Definitely the 400. That's my specialty.
Definitely the 400. Yeah. Major, do you know what you want to major in?
Majoring-wise, I'm a really creative kid. A lot of my time right now, I'm just, you know, literally drawing all the time. So it's definitely going to be in that field. Probably in film or animation or one of the two.
Cool. You have a younger brother that's fast too, right? He's not your fast, but he's fast, right?
Yeah.
What can he do on the track that you can't do?
Really, he's a threat, honestly, and I'm saying that. He is really good at hounding down anyone that's like right in front of him. I think given the leads that I usually give on him in races, he would have been right up my backside most of the time. So I think his biggest thing that I definitely didn't know how to do at that age is how to really gun down the track and get someone.
But for right now, he can't catch you, right? There's no way.
Yeah,
he's catching
you. Not right now. Not right now.
Well, look, I really appreciate you coming on, and I think for the class of 2020, it's a tough time. And I just wanted to have you on as just kick this off, and I'm going to have other athletes on that are in the 2020 class, and just a little nod and tip of the cap, and you've got a great future in front of you. I look forward to seeing how it unfolds. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
It's Isaac Davis with us. He is over at Castile High School, and one of the fastest people in the country as a high school senior, and pulled out. It's just gut-wrenching. Man, it's just not good. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He does a great job, as always, working remotely. Eric Sorensen, Jordan Hamm. We're going to head over to the website, sports360az.com. That's sports360az.com. Have yourself a great Tuesday.